Good afternoon. Welcome to our meeting. It's 1:30 p.m. on November 5th, 2024, and time to reconvene our regular meeting with the Orange County PUD Board of Commissioners. I'm Sid Logan, President of the Commission. Joining me today are Commissioner Rebecca Wolf, John Harlow, our CEO, Colin Willebrock, our General Counsel, Allison Morrison, Clerk of the Board, Jenny Rich, Deputy Clerk of the Board, and Morgan Stoltzner, Deputy Clerk of the Board. Commissioner Jenny Olson is absent today. Please turn off or mute your cell phone or other electronic devices at this time. Copies of the agenda are located on the Deputy Clerk's table near the entrance. Commissioner, is there any items to be added or change you made to the published agenda?
No.
Okay, thank you. Good answer. Comments from the public is item 4 on the agenda, and that's when the public will hear comments for items that are not listed on today's agenda. Comments will be limited to 5 minutes, and persons have a recommended to speak with sign-up cards located at the Deputy Clerk's table near the entrance. If joining by Zoom, click raise hand or dial *9 if by phone. Attendees, I'll call you to speak at the appropriate time. This meeting is being recorded. When addressing the board during the meeting, please step up to the podium, use the microphone, state and spell your name, and indicate where you're from. Please remain at the podium while you speak and address the commissioners and not the audience. If you have documents or the materials to enter into the record, please hand them to the Deputy Clerk. We'll distribute them to us. We appreciate your cooperation with our procedures. Please note that all motions receive an automatic silent second from the board. This ensures that all issues can be brought to the floor for discussion. So we'll begin with the flight salute.
I don't need to
flag of the United States of America and to the Republic which stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, first up, item 3, recognition declarations. Our employee of the month, Andrew McDonald. We have Keith Binkley here to introduce Andrew.
All right. You're
not Keith Binkley.
No. Jason Zuskowski.
Chief Energy Resource Officer.
I'm here to introduce Andrew, November Employee of the Month, and Keith Binkley, our special guest. I just wanted to say a few words. You know, I've been in the division for about 4.5 years now, and it's been an absolute pleasure to get to know Andrew. Been out on the river with him a few times and just seen the wonderful work that him and the Natural Resources group do out there, see the fish, see the habitat. And very impressed with the work. The other thing I'll say is, you know, Andrew is an integral part of our generation team. He helps plan the various river flows for our FERC compliance, for the generation team, working with the operators, the engineers. He also developed models for the Spada Lake Reservoir that really allow us to dial that in with our power scheduling team and really maximize all of that water. So, just super proud of Andrew and very deserving of the recognition. With that, turn it over to Keith.
Thank you, Jason. Good afternoon, commissioners. It is a pleasure to be here.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to be here to honor and acknowledge Andrew. I've had the good fortune of working with and alongside Andrew for over 10 years. I've had the opportunity to see how Andrew conducts himself in a variety of situations. And I am confident that what I share of my observations is consistent with experiences of many that are here today. Andrew is a passionate and dedicated scientist through and through. He is smart, well-educated. Andrew is a relentless investigator and tenacious when it comes to data collection. He is highly analytical and maintains a strong sense of curiosity, striving to always stay abreast and integrate new developments or research from the scientific community. Andrew is articulate. His passion for sharing information comes through his writing and presentation skills. He is very effective with a wide range of audiences, from school kids you know, adults, everywhere in between. He represents the PUD well in a variety of arenas, and he works hard to advance our reputation as environmental stewards. What makes Andrew unique is how he is able to blend traditional science with social science. Andrew is a true people person. He is a good listener and always respectful in his interactions with others. He is open-minded and receptive to differing perspectives. He is humble, has a calm demeanor, and a pretty good sense of humor. His coworkers truly enjoy working with him, and we all feel fortunate to have him as a fellow employee. So without further ado, I present Andrew McDonald as the Employee of the Month for November 2024. Congrats.
Congratulations. Thank you so much. Absolutely. I have some further ado.
Okay.
I even made notes. Okay. First of all, like Keith, I'm retiring at the end of this year, okay. And I want to work for you.
Yeah. I have an open position.
Do you have a master's in environmental law and policy? Yes.
Look forward to seeing your application.
You have. You don't discriminate because of age, right? I'm serious. You were a regulatory scientist,
yep.
So you're not anti-regulation in general.
Right.
Okay, that's good.
You work on regulated rivers.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know about those. And 6 miles of opening up that diversion dam stretch or reach. And now you have spawning salmon and steelhead there.
Correct.
First time in 85 years.
Correct.
Yay.
Yep.
Isn't that great? Just give me a high five. I did attend the Return of the Salmon celebration a year or two ago when Keith was on, but I didn't make it this year. And so next year, I hope to be there.
I'll be there maybe too. That's as my favorite festival.
I know. And the native people, is it the Snohomish tribe?
Yeah, shows
Tulalips. Yeah. And the Snohomish, I don't know, maybe they should show up too. I don't know. But anyway, we do have a couple of items for you. One of those has to do with a nice sweatshirt.
Awesome.
And
time of year.
And a picture that you can frame better.
Yeah.
You're so proud.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So I noticed when I was reading your resume, I noticed I didn't see hydrology on there. It's very impressive that you built a model.
Yeah.
Incredibly useful.
Yeah, thank you.
All the other things you do that figure out how SPADA is going
to
fill.
I appreciate that. Yeah, and I think it goes to show that the management here at the PUD is very receptive to exploring ideas that employees have. And so that was an idea that I kind of had working with one of our consultants. And actually, Adam Lewis and I were tasked with trying to figure out how much SPADA was going to spill during a impending spill event. And that really planted the seed for trying to figure out how the heck can we forecast how much elevation SPADA is going to gain or lose based on the inflows that are coming in at the time. So we've been able to develop a model that helps us look about 10 days ahead. Yep. We can get a little bit of lead time and adjust generation as needed so that we capture all that water for the variety of purposes that are in our FERC license.
Yeah,
so
that's awesome. That's cool. It's going to help our ratepayers for yeah,
absolutely.
And you,
so up to the end of the project.
You were within 4 inches.
Yeah, so this year, it was kind of a new process. It's about a two-year-old process. And so there was a little bit of spill anxiety, I would call it, going into the as we're topping off. But you know, luckily again, being a scientist, I trust the data, I trust the science is coming out, and others in our power scheduling meeting once a week trusted the models. And what happened was we got within 3 inches of the top of the spillway heading into the dry summer season.
Where you started to get nervous about 5 or 6 inches?
I wasn't.
Good. Rated in for you.
Yeah.
Well, we have a trophy because I'm sure you have a trophy case.
Yeah.
Mr. Logan, wasn't your father a
fisheries biologist?
Fisheries biologist.
Yeah, he was not a hydrologist.
Yeah. All right. Well, I appreciate it.
So it's thank you very much. Family here.
Thank you for all you do.
Yep. Can I get a picture?
Why don't we set these off to the
okay,
side?
Perfect.
And you hold your trophies.
Thank you.
And who's going to take a picture?
My lovely wife.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. What about those triplets?
Yeah. They're sleeping right now. They'd be here.
Does it break down in terms of male, female?
100% female.
Lucky man.
Good luck.
So you have the mic.
Just take this opportunity to say that for me, I hit the job lottery when I came to work here at the PUD. And I work with a great group of folks in our generation team from operations when we're climbing through fish ladders, you know, dewatering four bays, taking the brains of the engineers to try to teach a biologist, you know, engineering, and sometimes engineering and biology can be a clash of the titans. But we have a really good working relationship, and I've worked hard to foster these relationships over time and just look forward to continuing to do that with the current employees and with any new employees we bring on. And I'll just end by saying that I'm super proud of this award, and I couldn't have received it without working with all of you folks. So
that's great.
Thank you. The natural resources team, top tier talent. And our generation administration also does a good job to keep us all in line when times we can get out of line.
Great.
Great team.
Well put.
Those are
meeting ones. See you next week.
Great place.
Yeah. You did. I did. Absolutely.
Yeah. Next up is item four, comments from the public. Are there any members of the public who want to speak about items? I've not seen any in the room, but I've not seen any hands up online. We move on to item five, our consent agenda. 5A, approval of minutes of the regular meeting of October 22nd, 2024. Bid awards, professional service contracts, and amendments. And consideration of certification slash ratification and approval district check and doctorate on all provision. I think there any comments from the public regarding the consent agenda? Please raise your hand. Not seeing any online, not seeing any in the room. Commissioner, do you have any questions about the consent agenda?
Oh, not about the problem, any problems with it, but just to get better educated. Just a second. So I was wondering, I have to tell you on that one on that we are awarding to Mesa Products Incorporated. That was sounds like a very challenging. Oh, sorry. Page one of the contract awards. Sounds like very challenging mission. So. What is a cathodic protection equipment? What is that?
Cathodic
protects against corrosion.
Yeah.
Well, we have an expert.
I'm Adam Lewis. I'm in the engineering group in generation. far from a cathodic protection expert, but it's my contract. So the Mesa products people are experts. The field hydrant around it's lined to prevent rust, but in the end, over the years, there's a threat of rust. So the you induce cathodic protection is about putting anode beds in the ground to induce an electrical current so that the anode beds degrade rather than the pipe. So that way you can stick steel underground and have it last 30, 50, 100 years.
Very important in wet country.
Yeah, and in this case, along the pipeline, we've determined that the cathodic protection is not quite adequate on that part of the pipe. And because of limited space, the anode beds are often laid in a ditch. It's a simple, you excavate a ditch and lay these graphite tubes in there. But in this case, it's going to be a 300-foot vertical well with space limitations. So people have wells drilled on their properties all the time. And in a lot of ways, it's no more complicated than that. And then once the well's drilled, the graphite tubes are lowered in. And then you just have an electrical device that regulates the current and is attached through wires to the pipe. And it's a very small current, but it makes a big difference over the years.
Thank you for explaining that to me. I hope I can remember it. It's also the $3 million award to McKinney. That's similar in that it has to do with needing to have ductile iron fiberglass is kind of ruled out. So we're buying ductile iron bolts, right? Interesting. I mean, I'm just interesting. If you read these contracts, it really helps you understand all that's going on.
Yep.
So there's some others that I found interesting too, but there's one that was like Greek to me. Okay, that's all.
Okay, thank you. I have no questions. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Motion carried unanimously. Next, item 5, public hearing. 5A, continue the 2025 budget hearing. And I will now reconvene a public hearing on the 2025 proposed budget. And we have Scott Jones to facilitate the presentation discussion.
Actually, you're stuck with me.
No, that's great, Sarah. I just read you the script.
I'm Sarah Vaughn, budget and financial planning manager, here today to I'm here today to present the second of 3 public hearings. Really quickly, while I'm up here, I want to extend a thank you to Andrea, who was up here in October to present the introduction budget to you. She did an excellent job. And we'll be back on the 22nd as well for our third public hearing. So today's presentation is just for information and discussion. We'll be asking for approval on December 3rd. Today, we're going to focus on the electric system primarily. We're going to talk about our customers, our loads and our rates, revenues, operating expenditure, and capital expenditures. We'll spend a little bit of time talking about our generation system, which we just learned a little bit about. And then we'll talk about our some linkage to our strategic plan. In November 22nd, we'll spend time talking about water. So we'll start first by looking at our 2025 proposed budget. This is just the high level summary. And I just like to reiterate the amount of work that went into just getting to this point here. I didn't get a chance to acknowledge anybody at the last meeting since I didn't present, but we have so much work that goes into putting this budget together. And I'm really proud to be at this point. A few things to note, and I'll be going into deeper dive into these, just some changes for 2024. Electric retail sales were, if you compare the 2024 budget, were higher. We have the impact of our 2024 rate increase plus a proposed 2025. Our energy wholesale sales are actually down quite a bit from 2024, and that's a reflection of some updates to market prices as well as our switch to load volume. And I'll talk a little bit more about that. And purchase power is also a bit of a change. It's down from 2024 budget, and that's also primarily because of the load following switch. Our O&M is flat from 2024 budget, relatively so. And the other number to kind of point out here is our capital expenditures. You'll notice a pretty robust capital program in 2025, and I'll spend some time talking about some of those items in there. First thing to take a look at is kind of what makes up our retail sales, our energy retail sales. And this is a look from a load standpoint of the customers that we have. So the biggest our biggest customer base is our residential customers. We're expecting about $465 million in 2025. That's about 57% of our load. Our commercial customers make up about 36%, $241 million. And our industrial customers are about 7%, $35 million. You can tell by looking at the graph, it's pretty flat load growth. If you, between 2024 budget and 2025 proposed budget, it is about 1% increase. It's just a little hard to tell in this scale. So it's just a slight increase from 2024 to 2025. And this is just a look at our 10 largest customers. And this is basically in terms of revenues for the year on average. So in the introduction, Andrea discussed a little bit about our cost pressures and some of the things that we've experienced. You guys are really familiar with what we've been experiencing. And so in order to mitigate some of those cost pressures and minimize our rate impact, we have prioritized quite a few of the costs in the 2025 budget. So the budget we've proposed has already been reviewed, and there's been prioritized projects. And we're also looking at issuing bonds in 2025 to help fund some of the capital program. All of this is so we can help keep our rates as low as possible for our customers, where it's really important for us to keep our rates below inflation. And as you know, we're proposing a 4.6% general rate increase, which would be effective in April, and that'll be subject to board approval. We talked a little bit about rates and inflation. So this graph shows the inflation, this is for the Puget Sound area starting in 2027, you can see that even with our combined general rate increases and BPA rate increases, we've remained low inflation. Another component of our energy retail sales is our income qualified discount program. We don't budget explicitly for this program, but it's basically shown up as a reduction of our retail revenues. And we're estimating it to be about $8.5 million in 2025, which is an increase from 2024. Part of that growth is because they incorporated some auto enrollment mechanisms so we can ensure that as many qualified people are getting access to this program as possible. Last bit of revenues. So other than our retail revenues, we have other sources of income for the district. One is the energy wholesale sales that we've talked about previously. I'm going to spend more time on that one in just a second. But we also have a few other items. We sell off our excess transmission capacity sales. We have just miscellaneous service revenues, which are just the various fees that go to customers for other reasons. We have rents from electric property, et cetera. And embedded in the miscellaneous service revenues, we also have some funding that we get from EPA, which is a reimbursement for our energy efficiency programs, about $6.4 million in the 25 proposed budget. Looking at markets specifically, since it's one of our biggest buckets, you'll see there's quite a bit of a decline between the 24 budget and the 25 budget. Two reasons for it. You can see the number at the top. We're going from an average assumption of $53 per megawatt hours to $39, which is more reflective of our current market. Also, we'll be switching to the load following product in October. So we'll have a quarter of the year where we're not gonna have nearly the amount of market sales. So market sales is something we'll start to see kind of go away from our budget in the future as we move into the load following product. We're gonna switch over to our cost side of the world now. So we'll start with purchase power, since this is our biggest bucket. We're close to $373 million. So this piece of the pie looks a little bit different than it used to. BPA block and slice used to make up the three quarters. Now we've only got about half of the costs are going to be from block and slice. And then you can see the impact now of that load following showing up in our budget. So total BPA costs in 2025 are relatively similar to the previous years. Our other sources of power are our generation system, which we're going to spend some time talking about in detail. And we've got some other renewable power resources. And this is primarily our wind contracts. We've got our market purchases, which, as we've been educated on, has been a piece that's been kind of our balancing piece the last few years. And it's been kind of an area that we've had some issues. So this year, we're budgeting about $51 million. And eventually, like just as on the sales side, that's going to be coming out of the budget. So in 2026, we won't see much of that at all. And really quickly, one more look into that market purchases. We do have some assumptions in there. We use a hydrology assumption of P25, which is relatively conservative. And we did on here, we showed just for perspective, you can see how 2024 turned out with our average cost over the year being approximately $177 per megawatt hour. And we're expecting to go back to normal, relatively normal prices for the first three quarters of 2025.
The 2024 forecast numbers, that's as of September, October, or
it's actuals through what we've experienced probably through September, and then it's what our estimate is for the rest of the year.
Thank you.
Moving on to our next area is our operations and maintenance. And essentially, this is just the cost that it takes to run the district. We like to break it up into kind of some of the major departments that we have at the district. So one of our facilities, which is about 5%, this is our facilities and security area, and they're the ones who maintain our facilities, our custodial services, all the planning, maintenance of our facilities. Finance, which I always, of course, claim to be my favorite division. It's our insurance and claims, our accounting department, budgeting, customer accounting, contract and purchasing, et cetera. Our IT department, this is where we pay for all of our software contracts. We have all our wonderful staff who do the work to keep them going. Customer and energy services, this includes all of our customer service staff, our key accounts area, and our energy services. And energy services is our energy efficiency incentives are as well. So all the dollars that we spend on our conservation are in this bucket. Transmission and ancillary services. This is the cost that we pay to BPA primarily to get power to from our power back and forth. And then distribution engineering, which is our largest division. There's lots that goes on in distribution engineering. We've got our emergency work, our vegetation management, our energy control center, system planning, our emerging technologies group, telecom, metering, all our community offices, and there's probably more in there that I didn't even include. So one of our bigger buckets. And our O&M budget is relatively flat compared to our 2024 budget.
Is that transmission 20%? Is that normal?
I believe it's actually a little smaller than normal. I believe the cost went down just a little bit from 2024.
I realize every budget I learned something, that's a huge number.
We spent quite a bit of money. I think it's
18 transmission system.
Well, no, sorry. This is the cost of a BPA transmission.
Yeah, yeah, which is aging.
Yeah, I believe it's about $63 million a year.
Oh.
Yeah.
I have a question relating to that. Somewhere you just mentioned that we get some revenue from excess transmission by selling.
Right.
So how does that happen? Is that our transmission or BPA's that we've contracted for and then we don't use all of it? How does that happen?
That sounds accurate to me. I am by no means an expert on it. Do you have anything to
add? He who knows all.
Yeah, no, not at all. But you're absolutely right. So we have purchased transmission, I mean, going back quite a few years. And back in the day, they did purchase some excess, you know, just planning for the future. And it's just us selling that to make sure, you know, if we're not going to use it, we might as well buy it.
Sure. Yeah. I didn't even realize that we had excess transmission. So that's good to know.
Yep.
Okay, now we're going to take a look at some of our capital programs. We've got quite a bit going on this year. We'll start with our capital asset program, one of our largest programs. There's quite a bit that we do in here, and this is really just the money that we spend to keep our system running. For example, this is our replacement of all of our bad order poles, maintaining our underground cables, just miscellaneous line improvements, et cetera. We've got what we call our expansion program. This is essentially new assets that we're building at the district. We have several expansion projects this year. Generally, they're new substations, upgrades, or the like. We're showing an example of Camino substation, Camino Island substations being replaced. We've got a new switching station at the Maltby that's part of this program as well. Our upgrade program. This is just to enhance the current system that we have, not really maintaining, but it's kind of adding to it. So about $9.7 million this year in this program. Transportation and equipment. So this is a program that we have to make sure that our equipment is staying up to date. And we either are going to replace or replace most, this is mostly for replacements of new or old equipment. Customer service program. This is work that is driven by customers. And so this is generally, we get contributions for this. We're actually budgeted about $34 million in contributions to help pay for the majority of the work in this area. And so this is work that's related to customers. So it's line extensions, lap development.
Vehicles. So do the vehicles that go to a specific program like Connect Up, they come out of this budget category, or do they come out of the Connect Up?
This budget is what the transportation equipment budget's all new vehicles,
right?
But we have ways to allocate costs to different projects,
okay,
if they're being used for.
I didn't know we were buying vans for Connect Up. They was already done. So.
Yeah, if we have, they would have been charged to the Connect Up.
Okay,
budget.
Thank you.
Speaking of the Connect Up budget, the 2025 budget includes about $30 million, and that's a placeholder for meters for the next year. And this is the first year we're seeing in the budget the Snow Smart program. So we've got $13 million that's budgeted for 2025, and I won't read through all of the description of what this project is, but it's part of the grant that we have coming. We are budgeting revenue from the DOE to help offset this. It's about $7 million is expected to be billed to the DOE in 2025 to offset some of these costs. Facilities capital, so quite a bit going on in facilities. They're going to be finishing up the North County building. They're also starting underway the East County property. Purchase is going to be made, and we've got some pretty big projects planned here at the EB and then out at the operations center. So those are the slides that we have on the electric system. Next week, we'll go a little bit into the forecast and some reserves. Are there any questions on the electric system before I move on to generation? So generation system, this is our 2025 budget. Energy retail sales number, that's the number that gets passed on the electric system with the cost of purchased power. It's a little bit lower than it was in 2024, mostly because their capital program is lower than it was. And so just to look at the generation system, if we look at it from a megawatt hour standpoint, Jackson's obviously the largest component of this. We've got our other small hydro systems, Young's Creek, Hancock, Callaghan, and then Qualco also, which make up our generation system. And all of the costs, the cash costs, are what get passed on to the electric system. So what they budget for in their program is what the electric system ends up paying. So this year includes, similar to last year, continuation of some their O&M basically consists of some long-term strategic planning for Habitat's ability, and just are trying to levelize the cost of their O&M and capital projects. And just a few things that they're working on this year. So part of the big switchyard work they've been doing, that's going to be taking several years. 2025 is focused on this transformer replacement, almost a $2 million project. They've also got a cooling water project, almost $500,000 that they're planning in 25. And then just some various improvements around the Jackson plant that they're thinking about for 2025. Last but not least, our strategic plan. So buried in the projects that we've talked about today are a lot of projects that are directly related to implementing our strategic plan. And here we've just highlighted a few of them. In the generation, you'll see the Woods Creek Sustainability Center, for example. Most of these are shown somewhere in our numbers, but yeah, we definitely have some projects underway that are directly supporting the strategic. And that's what we have today. We'll be coming back in 2 weeks, and we're going to spend some time talking about our water system. We'll, if we have any proposed changes to the budget, we'll bring those to you as well. And then we'll spend some time talking about our 5-year forecast for both water and electric and our reserves, and where we expect to be at the end of 2025. And as I mentioned earlier, we'll be coming back on December 3rd to talk about proposed approval of the budget.
Okay, are there any comments from the public regarding the proposed budget? Please raise your hand. Commissioner, do you have any more questions?
No, I do not. Thank you.
Thank you. I will call for a motion to continue the public hearings on the 2025 proposed budget.
I move the public hearing on the 2025 proposed budget be continued to Tuesday, November 19, 2024, at 8:30 p.m. at 2320 California Street in Everett.
Call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay. Aye. Motion carried unanimously. Next, item 7, or agenda item 7, items for individual consideration. 7A, consideration of a resolution adopting and approving the Snohomish County Public Utility District Number 1 Retiree Benefits Program. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
You know, Paul is virtually available to answer any questions if we have any. Are there any comments from the public regarding this resolution? Please raise your hand. Seeing any questions?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, we were thoroughly briefed on this. Okay, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Next, we're on to our CEO General Manager report. Mm-hmm. Every report for us, John?
I do. Items to go over. First, we finished up our formal mentorship program year 2. Last year's was kind of the pilot year. And we graduated 24 mentors and 24 mentees on October 31st. And it was another hugely successful program. Customer service, the SnowPud Energy Design Assistance Project is now complete for our newest building in the North County office, which will be 15% more energy efficient than code. This program incentivizes above code energy efficiency as is an example of us using our own energy services programs and facilities expertise to ensure our buildings serve as a model for responsible energy usage. Also, as we talked about briefly this morning, proactive outage alerts went live for customers last week in time for storm season. The system enhancement will allow customers to sign up for proactive outage alerts at any time through the My SnowPud account app. Previously, customers could only sign up when experiencing an outage. We anticipate this ability to continually inform our customers about their service interruptions and estimated times of restoration will be a significant customer experience improvement. And part of this continuous improvement effort does go to when we go into storm mode, being able to, it's okay to turn off the outage alerts and give a kind of a generic notice that we are in storm mode. It's part of the process to be able to begin giving estimated restore times at some point along the way. Notice from the, yesterday's storm into today, we were still putting out the generic notices even as of this morning. We've got to continue to get better, improve those processes, improve the use of the tools so that we can start giving ETRs for those final few folks that are still without power. Well, it's an ongoing effort to continue to raise the bar in that regard. From our compliance area, the Western Electricity Coordinating Council, or WEC, audit of the North American Electric Reliability Corporation reliability standards officially began on October 14th and concluded on October 25th. And the NERC audits, as you know, are a big deal. Initially, this audit was planned as a combination of critical infrastructure protection, or a CIP, and operations and planning. However, after the kickoff meeting with WEC staff, they decided to forego the operations and planning portion due to the district's strong ONP performance in previous audits and the associated risk to the bulk electric system. The WEC audit team reported no findings on all requirements and provided one recommendation. During the 24 audit interviews, debriefs, and site visits, the compliance department, standard leads, and their teams of subject matter experts received numerous positive comments from the WEC audit team for their efforts to protect the district from both physical and cyber threats. Overall, another excellent audit, and district staff did an outstanding job. So a huge kudos to the team on that. We are continuing the search to fill our COO position. We are in the virtual interview phase, and we'll move the selected candidates from that phase into the in-person interviews over the next few weeks. And we have begun recruiting for the CFO position with our recruiter. And also, just on the storm, we did finish up the storm restoration effort around noon today. Again, it was a little bit of a unanticipated change yesterday with the forecast changed around midday. Winds changed directions and became pretty severe. Team overall, every aspect of the effort did a fantastic job safely restoring all the customers' power. So another good showing for our team. That's it. Happy to answer any questions.
Questions for John?
So I assume there were no injuries or no bark. That's great.
We actually even ramped up the focus on safety at the start of yesterday, as we knew we were going into storm mode, just to make sure we are continuing to stay vigilant, looking out for each other, taking care of each other.
And it sounded like we pulled some crews out of some really dangerous areas.
Yeah.
And there was plenty of work to do other places. So
yeah.
I'm glad we did that.
Yeah. Another good testament to the team, recognizing the hazards when the winds pick up to that level. Trees were starting to come down and get the folks out of there. Again, like you say, we had other outages to restore, and then we could put them back into those areas once things calmed down a little bit. I spent most of last night visiting crews, and folks were in good spirits and doing good tailboards and really focused on safe restoration. So, yeah, great job.
That's
all the way around.
We didn't get those winds down. So, Edmonds.
Yeah, it was really interesting talking to different folks from different parts of the county, the North Camino Island, in Stanwood area, the Lake Goodwin area. Boy, it really blew hard. Over to about Route 9, a little bit east of Route 9, talking to the folks from Monroe, they saw nothing, just blue skies and no wind at all. So, yeah, our weather patterns can be a little bit unusual.
Yeah. Thank you.
Next is item 9, commission business. 9A, commissioners, report for you.
I don't think I do this. I forgot to check my calendar.
It's okay not to have one.
We didn't have a lot of events in the last 2 weeks, so I don't think.
I don't have a report, just a comment. You know, going through the budget, I was impressed at how we're going to grow our income qualified program. But I think as we have more rate pressure, I think that's just critical. But I really want to thank that team for doing that work. That's an impressive goal to increase by that big of a percentage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next is item 9B, our commissioner events calendar. Are there any changes to the events calendar?
Stop. No.
No, the only changes is that November, yesterday's Jenny Park substation ribbon cutting didn't happen due to the weather.
Too windy.
I think the substation's working, so. Next is 9C, our 2024 Treasury Budget and Project Status Report for September. Andrea is here to answer any questions regarding this report. Are there any questions, comments, Commissioner?
No, I don't really have any. It's all that makes good sense.
The one thing. These accident metrics are sort of hard to graph because they jump around a lot. I don't know if there's a way to put a trend or rolling average, or I don't know, but yeah. It's what it is. It's accurate. So
yeah, and actually, we had Laura and ELT have some discussion around that. It's you know, we've tried to kind of tweak that to give a better representation of the overall trend over more than just either a year to date or even past 12 months. That's why we actually added, you know, a couple years of data.
Yeah.
But like you say, it's month to month is kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
What we ultimately want is just that year over year or longer term consistently trending down in the right direction.
Yeah, and that's the challenge. It's hard to tell
yeah.
whether we're making progress or not, other than we guess we have the green and red.
Yeah, we'll keep working on that, see if there's a better way to represent that.
I don't have any questions. Okay. Let's move on to item 9D, our September 2024 district dashboard.
Bottom of page 7.
Yeah, but I don't see the district dashboard. What page is the district dashboard? Oh, it's part of this report. Yes, I understand. Were there any questions or comments about the dashboard?
Always interested in the preventable accidents by month. So down means fewer accidents, or
yes.
Down means we're slipping in that department.
No, we have 12% fewer accidents from 23 and 15% fewer accidents than 22.
Good.
So the green is good.
It's confusing to me because purple looks up. I do get confused sometimes between the green and the purple. So.
And I will just highlight or mention again, and we've had some of these discussions, but again, last night or yesterday's storm will be another hit to the reliability metrics, safety and safety metrics, because it wasn't a large enough storm to have
a FEMA.
No, a major to exclude 24 hours, major event day.
Wow.
Thank you, Jason. Just you coming over here reminding me. Major event day. So it all gets, you know, put into the reliability metrics. And one of the pathways I think that we're going to go down is, and we've used this in some of my previous utilities, is having a non-storm reliability metric and a storm reliability metric, because the storms can be all over the place, type different, you know, how extensive it is across the district, the wind speeds, all those kind of things are variable, right? And at least you can have a pretty good baseline on non-storm reliability, and it gives you more control over what you can actually do to improve that number. So we'll be looking at that in 2025.
And it would show if we're making progress.
Yes,
it's hard exactly. To know whether we're making progress.
Yeah,
I endorse that.
So you've talked about that before, that the blue sky days data and the storm data, all of that is not disaggregated yet.
No, it is not disaggregated. It's all included in this these reliability numbers. Yeah.
Confusing. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, it makes sense to me that our system should be hardening for a certain wind speed. And then we can see that we can look at that data separately. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, and we want to be able to to impact both in a positive way, like
right.
sky outages, as well as storm resiliency, which is into the ductile iron poles and things that we're doing on the on our distribution system.
Right.
You really go after both of those in different ways.
Next is 9E, consideration of resolution establishing the regular meeting date for the commission for the year 2025 on call for a motion.
I move approval.
Allison is available to answer any questions regarding the resolution. So the thing I'll call your attention to, as we discussed at a previous meeting, is that we only have one meeting in May.
Right. And so
and yeah.
we're going to be also discussing whether to go to mornings only.
We've agreed to go to mornings.
Oh, you have?
Yes, we did.
Oh.
The previous meeting we did.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So
I remember thinking it was a good idea.
Yeah.
But I don't voting
well. I think we're right. It is a good idea. So, John, you aren't here for the last meeting. But, you know, we only had one meeting in May because of the way NWPPA is lined up with APPA. It's a big difference. NWPPA moved. And so we realized there's a common denominator in those two organizations.
Yes.
That's all I'll say. Okay, are there any comments from the public regarding the resolution? Please raise your hand. No hands up. And no questions from you, Commissioner, none from me. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Next, our governance planning calendar. Are there any changes to the governance planning calendar?
Still to be scheduled is the AI update.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a change, but I hope it will be scheduled for the year.
I don't know. Looks looking at it, the end of the year looks pretty full.
Well, I'll have to zoom in.
Yeah. Okay. So it looks like there sounds like there's no changes. Is there any further business to come before the board this afternoon?
I
have none. Okay, hearing none, it is 2:22 p.m. and our meeting is adjourned.